2 Timothy 3, verse 10, he says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." Paul's talking to Timothy here. "Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, Father, we thank you right now. We ask for this spirit of wisdom and revelation right now. Father, I pray not only for myself, but for every person here, that you'd give to each one of us as we look at your word right now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you. Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as your word is sown, Lord, that no one would be distracted, that no one would miss, Lord, what you have for them today. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for giving me utterance today that I would say what you'd have me to say, the way you'd have me to say it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. And Lord, I thank you that your word will not return void. I thank you that it will produce fruit in every heart and every life today. In Jesus' name, I believe that and I thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Paul is stressing to Timothy here. He's stressing to him the importance of the written word of God. He's talking about facing persecution. He's talking about facing deception and false doctrine and evil men and imposters and talking about all of that. And he brings him back to the foundation. He brings him back, okay, Timothy, here's what you need to focus on. Here's what's going to put you over. Here's what's going to give you victory. And he brings him back to the importance of the Holy Scriptures. He says deception will abound in the last days. Well, what's Timothy supposed to do about that? He says, continue in the things that you've learned. Continue in what you've learned. Specifically, he's talking about, and primarily he's talking about, the written word of God, the Holy Scriptures. He said, from childhood, from infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation. And he says, the written word of God, he says, it contains the wisdom of God. And it points us to a Savior, Jesus. That is the main message of the Scripture. The main message of the Bible is to point us to Jesus. Amen? Jesus said that. In fact, he said that to the Pharisees. He said, you search the Scriptures. He says, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And he says, but you refuse to come to me that you might have life. And it's these very Scriptures that reveal, that point the way to me, Jesus said. And so the Word of God, the main message of the Scripture, although there's a lot of things in it, and a lot of things in it that are useful to us about living our daily life, the main thing is to point us to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And he's telling Timothy this. He said, you've known the Holy Scriptures from a child, from infancy, and these Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this in verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That the word inspiration there literally means God breathed. The Bible, this Bible, how many of you brought your Bible today? Praise God. Hold it up if you brought your Bible. I know we have the Scriptures on the screen, so you might not have brought your Bible. I hope you have one. You know, people are holding up their smartphones. Once you've got a Bible there, I think that's fine. I think that's great. But I think you need an actual hard copy of it too. Amen. And I know you do. I'm not saying you're wrong for bringing your smartphone to look at the Scriptures this way. It's a convenient way to do it. But get you a hard copy of the Word of God too. Amen. Praise God. But this is God breathed. God actually breathed into this. Amen. This is His very life, His very words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. And Paul says it's profitable, profitable for four things here. The Word of God, the Scripture, the Holy Scriptures, it's profitable for four things. Number one, for doctrine. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable, number one, for doctrine. So what is that? Doctrine, that sounds boring. No, doctrine is not boring. Amen. Here's a good definition for doctrine. A framework of truth that you live by. Doctrine is a frame. So where did you get that? The Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was studying this out and preparing this message, I knew there was first thing was doctrine. And I thought, well, what is doctrine? I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, gave me a good definition here. A framework of truth that you live by. Amen. Hallelujah. What is your basis for truth? You know, Pilate, when Jesus was before him, before he crucified Jesus, Pilate said, what is truth? Unfortunately, he didn't wait around for the answer, did he? The truth was actually standing in front of him. So what is the truth? The written Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable. Number one, for doctrine, a framework of truth that we can live our lives by. Amen. The written Word of God. Amen. Praise God. And then he says it's profitable. Secondly, he says it's profitable for doctrine. And then he says it's profitable for reproof and for correction. I want to put these two together, reproof and correction. God shows us where we've missed it. That's reproof. The Word of God will show you where you've missed it, right? Show you areas you need to correct. But then the good news is also how to correct it. That's the difference between condemnation and conviction. God never condemns us, but the Holy Spirit will convict us through the Word. Amen. Condemnation says you've missed it, you've blown it, there's no hope for you. Conviction says you're missing it right here, but here's how to change. Here's the way out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for that. Amen. So for reproof and for correction. And then number three, for instruction. For instruction or training. The word instruction means training. For instruction in righteousness. For instruction in righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God. We've received the gift of righteousness. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Just like some of those good athletes on the Crimson Tide football team. The example that I can identify better with is the example. I'm a Georgia Tech fan, so Georgia Tech in Georgia. We didn't have a chance. Why? Because, it was clear Georgia just had better athletes. There's something to be said for just natural ability and talent. Amen. But here's where, so we've been made, the point I'm making is this. We've been made the righteousness of God. We've been given the gift of righteousness. But that has to be cultivated just like natural ability has to be cultivated. Amen. Natural athletic ability has to be cultivated. How? Through training, doesn't it? Musical ability. Some people have wonderful gifts in music, but that musical ability, they have to what? They have to train, right? They have to practice. They have to train. He said the Word of God is profitable for training in righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God, but the Scripture, the written Word of God, trains us how to live that out. Amen. How to walk that out. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And then he says the fourth thing here in verse 17, that the man of God, the woman of God, so he's talking about the preacher there. No, every one of us. Amen? You should see yourself, men, guys, you should see yourself as a man of God. Amen. Ladies, you should see yourself as a woman of God. Amen. That the man of God, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What's going to do that? The written Word of God. The Holy Scriptures are going to make you complete and thoroughly equip you for every good work. So how important is it that we give our attention to the written Word of God? Now I could, I've got several Bibles. I'm sure most of you do too. I'll never be I'll never receive these four benefits. I'll never have a know and have a framework to live my life by. I'll never have the reproof and correction of God in my life. I'll never have that training in righteousness, and I'll never be made complete and thoroughly equipped, even though I have a Bible in my possession with my name on it. Even got the, well, this one doesn't, but most of us have the name imprinted on the outside cover, don't we? But if you never open it up, and if you never let it get inside your heart and your mind, it won't do any of those things, will it? Amen. I mean, it looks good tucked under your arm and all of that, but that won't do you any good. Amen. We've got to open it up. We've got to read it. We've got to study it, meditate on it. That's when it becomes alive on the inside of us through the action of the Holy Spirit. When we pray that prayer, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I love there's a prayer in the Psalms. David prayed, I think it's in Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law, or we could say today, from your word. That's a prayer I like to pray when I read the Bible. That's basically the Ephesian prayer. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. David said it this way, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your word. Amen? Amen. Praise God. In the Message Bible, in 2 Timothy 3 here, picking up in the middle of verse 15, I want to read this through verse 17. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Isn't that good? Amen. Praise God. Through the Word, we're put together, amen, and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Remember Humpty Dumpty? Can anybody identify with Humpty Dumpty? Have you had a great fall? Amen. Well, it said all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. But one thing that can put you back together is the Word of God. Amen. Through the Word, we're put together. Amen. And we're shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. Amen. Praise God. And so I want to give you a few more things here that the Word of God does for us. This is number one, the Word of God establishes us for success. The Word of God establishes us for success. You know, when they're building a skyscraper, when they're building a big building, many stories high, you know where they start? They start by digging down, don't they? They don't start by building up, they start by going down. Because the higher that building is going to go, the more secure, the more firm, and the more attention is paid to the foundation. Isn't that right? Amen? So the higher the building, the deeper, the more secure the foundation has to be. Well, the Word of God is our foundation for success in whatever endeavor God has appointed for us. Whatever God has appointed for us to do, the Word of God, the written Word of God, is our foundation for success. God talked a lot about that to His people. He talked about that to Joshua. Remember when Joshua took over the command and the leadership of the children of Israel when Moses had passed away? Remember what God told Joshua? In Joshua 1:8, He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Joshua is assuming the leadership of millions of people. You know, he needs to be successful in that, doesn't he? Yes. Amen? Now again, the success doesn't mean, you know, is not necessarily reflected in your bank account or the kind of house you have or the kind of car you drive. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about success. We're talking about doing well what God has appointed us to do, having results, amen, and being effective. Amen. We all want to be effective, don't we? We all want to make a difference, don't we? Amen. So He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." this book of the law, we could, that's all he had at the time. Moses had just got through writing the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy. We call that the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. That's what Joshua had. So God told him, he said, take this and meditate in it day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. In other words, don't stop speaking it. Amen. It's another aspect of it too. He says, meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe. If you meditate in it, what's another way, another word for observe is to see. Amen. So when you meditate in the Word of God, all of a sudden you begin to see things you didn't see. You begin to understand things you didn't understand. Amen? Praise God. He said that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then, when you receive the Word of God and you observe, you see things, and then you do it. That's the end game, is being a doer of the Word, putting it into practice. Amen? That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then, you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So the Word of God, the written Word of God, is the foundation for our success. Praise God. You want to be successful in 2013? Prosperous in 2013. You know, people wish you, a prosperous new year. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous new year. Well, like Norval Hayes says, it don't work by wishing. Amen. Just because you wish it to someone else or wish it for yourself, it doesn't work just because you wish. Now, it's nice to wish that. Amen. But it doesn't work by wishing. It works by doing what God said. Amen. And God said, if you'll meditate in His Word, if you'll let that be the foundation for your life, then you're positioned for success. Amen. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, it says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Or we could say today, the Word of God, the written Word of God. And in His law, or in the written Word of God, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted. I like that word, planted. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of... Planted where? The location is everything. You know, like they say in real estate, location, location, location. Well, location is everything here. If you meditate in the Word of God, then that means, he says, you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The rivers of water, that's where the tree can put down its roots and draw up nourishment and life. Amen. Amen? Praise God. It's not dependent on outward circumstances. Look at what it says here. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. He's talking about a man. He's talking about a woman that will put the Word of God first in their life, that will meditate in the Word of God. He says day and night here. Day and night. Praise God. And he'll be like a tree. Doesn't mean all day and all night, but he means on a daily basis. And he evidently means twice a day. Amen. In the morning when you get up and at night when you go to bed. Amen. Don't just fall asleep watching some crazy movie. Amen. Fall asleep meditating in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll sleep better. Praise God. Somebody needs that. That's why you've been having trouble sleeping. I'm not condemning anybody. But your answer is meditate in the Word of God before you go to bed. And that'll be your answer. The Holy Spirit's giving you your answer right here. If you'll take it, if you'll receive it. That's why you've been having trouble sleeping. Amen. He wants to fix that. He says he gives his beloved sleep. Amen. So if you need that, take that. Praise God. Amen. So the Word of God, here's another thing. The Word of God is food for our spirits and food for our faith. The Word of God is food for our spirits and food for our faith. Jesus said it. You know, he said in Matthew 4, he said, man shall not live when Satan tempted him. He said, if you're the Son of God, we're going to read that whole passage later, but if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. And Jesus said, no, it is written, and he's quoting Deuteronomy 3:8, I believe it is. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, in the Message Bible, I like the way he said it here. In the Message, Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. Amen. Praise God. A steady stream of words from God's mouth. So the Word of God is food for our spirit. Just like natural food is for our body, the Word of God is that for our spirit. And when we neglect the Word of God, it's like starving out our spirit. You see, God designed us to live out of our spirits. Amen. As Christians, as believers, we are designed to live out of our spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We are a spirit. We have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We live in a body. But you and I are not designed to live out of our body or out of our soul, just our reasoning. We're designed to live out of our spirit. So our spirit has to be fed. Amen. Or it won't be strong enough to take the lead. Amen. And what is food for our spirit? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. Amen. Praise God. You know, you've heard of Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, you know, God used him. I don't know what the total is. I've heard different numbers, 14 and one total, 23 others. God used him to raise that many people from the dead. He had a powerful ministry. Miracles and healings and just a powerful man of God. But that's what he said. He said, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. God, he said this, God is everything the Word says He is. We need to get acquainted with Him through the Word. Amen. That's what Wigglesworth said. It's also said about Wigglesworth when he traveled around the world. He stayed in people's homes, you know, and a lot of people, this is widely reported, not just an isolated case, but widely reported that after each meal, even when they were eating in a restaurant, that he would push back from the table. He'd take out his New Testament that he always carried in his pocket. He said, I don't feel fully dressed. He said, if I don't have my New Testament with me, he said, I'd just as soon walk out the house without my shoes on as without my Testament. Praise God. And thank God for smartphones. Now you can have the Bible with you. Amen. On your phone. But he would push back after a meal so they'd feed their body, so they'd eat a meal. He'd push back from the table, get out his Testament and say this. He said, we have fed the body. Now let's feed the inward man. How about that? He says, then Wigglesworth would read something about faith and usually wind up giving a little faith message, a little mini sermon. Praise God. That we fed the body, let's feed the inward man. Amen. We ought to be that serious about it. We ought to be that serious about the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes, how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's food for our spirit, food for our faith. F.F. Bosworth. Anybody ever heard of F.F. Bosworth? Bosworth wrote the great classic book, Christ the Healer. Had a powerful healing ministry in the 1920s and 30s. I think he came in at the Azusa Street Revival, right? Didn't he get where he turned to God and got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? So in the 20s and 30s and into the 40s, had a great healing ministry. Bosworth said this, most Christians, I know this doesn't apply to you, but all those other Christians out there. Most Christians feed their body three hot meals a day and their spirit one cold snack a week. And they wonder why they're so weak in faith. Amen. If you can't say amen, just say oh me. Well, Jeremiah put it this way. Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So the Word of God is food to our spirit. It's food for our faith. Amen. Feed on the Word of God every day. Amen. Well, Pastor, I don't have time to read through the Bible. I don't have time to sit down and read the Bible for 20 minutes. Well, do you have time to fix a meal and eat 20 minutes? You take 20 minutes a day to fix food and eat it. I dare say we all take more than that, don't we? Amen. The Word of God's food. Make sure you feed your spirit. Amen. And the Word of God is food for your spirit. Praise God. And then the next thing is this. I think it's very important. The Word of God washes us from the contamination of the world. The Word of God washes us from the contamination of the world. That's what Jesus was trying to illustrate when he washed the disciples' feet. He got down and he washed his disciples' feet. And Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You know, you can't do that. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And then Peter said, give me a whole bath then. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't need the whole bath. You're already clean. He's talking about the fact that we've been saved. We've been redeemed. We've been made the righteousness of God. But even in that, we still walking through this world, just like those disciples walking from village to village, you know, they wore sandals. Their feet would get dirty. They didn't need a whole bath when they came into a home, but they needed their feet washed. Amen. Amen. And so walking through this world, walking through everyday life, it's easy to pick up bad attitudes, isn't it? It's easy to pick up wrong thinking, isn't it? Well, the Word of God has been given to us to wash us from the contamination of the world. Amen. Amen. If we never allow the Word of God in to do that, then we're just gonna pick up bad attitudes, wrong thinking. You know, rebellious attitudes against God and against the things of God, even though we're Christians, even though we're born again. And then we wonder why, you know, things aren't working for us. Well, we have to have a daily washing. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you brush your teeth mostly at least once a day? Amen. That's important, isn't it? I'd recommend it. If you don't, I'd recommend doing that. It's a good thing to do. Praise God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this, your word have I hidden, in my heart that I might not sin against you. And there's a corresponding, I love it when you can find a corresponding New Testament verse to an Old Testament verse. A lot of times they're there. 1 John 2:1 is a corresponding New Testament verse to Psalm 119:11, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. John says this in 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Amen. He said, I'm writing. Well, what did he write? Well, it became the book of 1 John. This is letter, 1 John. It's the Word of God. It's God-breathed. It's inspired by God. Not only what John wrote, but what all the authors, the human authors of the Bible wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, I've written these things to you that you may not sin. If we'll take the Word of God, now we know without regeneration, without being born again, that has to happen first. Amen. You got to get born again. You can't just try to do right. Amen. You got to get born again. But then the Word of God is given to believers to wash us from the contamination of the world. Amen. He said, I write these things to you that you may not sin. So it's possible. Amen. But he said, if anyone sins, why? Because nobody's reached perfection at this yet. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God we do. But the point is, he said, I'm writing these things to you. If you'll let the Word cleanse you. In fact, John said this in 1 John 1:7. He said, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The Amplified said, keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Walking in the light, he said. Well, what is that? Well, the psalmist said, the entrance of your word gives light. Walking in the light means walking in the revelation of the Word of God. Amen? When we do that, when we walk in the revelation of his word, there's a cleansing. There's an automatic cleansing from the contamination of the world. Jesus washes our feet. Jesus said this to his disciples, John 15:3. He said, you're already clean. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. What made them clean? The word that he's spoken to. What makes us clean? The word that he has spoken to us. Amen? And then Ephesians 5:25. Look at this one. Ephesians 5:25. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Amen. Jesus is preparing his bride. He sanctifies us. He cleanses us out by the washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. So the word of God washes us from the contamination of the world. Amen. And then finally this morning, the word of God is our weapon to resist the devil. The word of God is our weapon to resist the devil. Now, you can try other weapons if you want to, but the one that God has endorsed, the one that God has given us, the one that God has prescribed is his written word. The word of God is our weapon to resist the devil. James 4:7 tells us, he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we're told, we're commanded to resist the devil. I think some Christians get that backwards. It says submit to God and resist the devil. I think sometimes, I know you've never been guilty, we submit to the devil and resist God. Huh? Amen. You might as well laugh about it. Amen. We've all done it, haven't we? But he says submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, how do I resist the devil? Well, he tells us how. In Ephesians 6:17, summing up the armor of God, I'd encourage you to read all that about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And he goes through all the pieces of the armor. In verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now again, here, it's been given to us, but we can't leave it hanging in the closet. We got to take it and put it on. Right? We got to take it. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you think about it, if you look at it, all the parts of the armor basically are defensive except one. And that's the sword of the Spirit. There's the shield of faith that we're able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. There's the helmet of salvation. I guess you could headbutt the devil with your helmet of salvation on. But basically, that helmet of salvation is more of a defensive weapon. Really, the only offensive weapon in this armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the way that we're to successfully resist the devil is by taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Word of God. There's no substitute. Amen. There's no substitute. Now, it's interesting for the word there, where it says the word of God, there's two words in the Greek language that are translated word for the word of God. One is logos. The other one is rhema. The difference is this, simplified. Logos means more the written word. Rhema means more the spoken word. So he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God spoken out of your mouth. The Bible says about Jesus, out of his mouth, in the book of Revelation, comes what? A sharp, two-edged sword. Amen? So he says, we're to take up this sword, the word of God, and we're to speak it out of our mouth. Well, if you've never put it into your heart and your mind by reading, by meditating, there's no way it can come out your mouth. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Didn't he? Yes. Amen. So let's look at how Jesus did this. So speaking, we can say this from Ephesians as you find Matthew 4. Go back to Matthew 4 with me. Speaking God's word out of your mouth to resist the attack of Satan against you will cause you to prevail. Speaking God's word out of your mouth to resist the attack of Satan against you, it can come any number of ways. But what should we do when you sense an attack of Satan coming on your life? Oppression, depression, sickness, fear, worry, anger, whatever it may be, when you sense that coming into your life, when we sense that, our first response ought to be, where's my sword at? And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and begin speaking God's Word out of our mouth. Too many times we respond differently, don't we? But here's how to be successful. Here's how to be victorious. Do it this way. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus gave us an example. Matthew 4. Much of what Jesus did was to set an example for us. Amen? Praise God. Here's a great example right here that he set for us. In Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Verse 4, but he answered and said, "It is written." He did what? He answered and said, "It is written." I want you to get that. He answered and said, "It is written." He said, "It is written." And then he said, "What was written?" He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What is he doing? He is resisting the devil. He is resisting that temptation. And how's he resisting the devil? He is resisting the devil by means that we have at our disposal today. Jesus didn't resist the devil by his great powers as the Son of God that we look at and say, "Boy, I wish I could do that." No, he resisted the devil simply by saying out of his mouth, "It is written," and then he quoted what God said to address that situation. Well, what if he didn't know what God had said? What if he hadn't studied it? What if he hadn't read it? What if he hadn't put it in his heart? He couldn't have used it right there, could he? Amen? See how important it is for us to know the Word of God, for us to have it in our heart. Amen? Praise God. So he said, "It is written." And then verse number 5, then the devil took him up. How many of you know the devil doesn't always leave the first time you say "it is written"? Well, I said, "Well, I just don't know why it doesn't work. I mean, the pastor told me to do this, but it didn't work." What if Jesus had said, you know, after that first temptation, and he resisted by saying "it is written," and the devil's still there, what if Jesus said, "Father, I don't know why this isn't working"? He didn't do that, did he? No. He knew it was working, even though it didn't look like it was working. Little by little, the pressure was being put on the devil. You know, maybe Jesus did see, but the devil's starting to hold on with his fingernails, you know. All right, but the devil doesn't want you to know he's struggling. So he tries to put on a good front. And he says, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." So the devil said, "Who can play this game? I can quote scripture too. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." How many of you? No, the devil can quote scripture. Well, Jesus said, "Man, you got me there." No, Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So what do we have to do? We have to do what Paul told Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth, accurately handling the word of truth, interpreting scripture correctly. You can pull one verse out over here, one verse out over here, and make it say pretty much anything you want to say and justify any type of action or behavior. That's why we have to have it in the right context. Amen. Can't just take a verse here, a verse there, but you get the overall thing. That's why it's important, I think, to read through the Bible. Get the whole picture. Amen. No, Jesus countered, "It's written again." Then you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him. Glory to God. His resisting was successful, wasn't it? Hallelujah. He succeeded. He was victorious. The devil left him. The Bible says why? Because Jesus, in each occasion, he answered by saying, it is written. He resisted Satan by speaking the word of God, by saying what the word of God says. The word of God is our weapon to resist the devil. You know, thank God this is not a forever, but I've got news for you. The devil is going to be waiting for you in 2013. When you get into 2013, he's going to be there. And he's going to try things. And I'm not trying to put anybody in fear, but I'm just letting you know. I mean, as long as we're here and until Jesus comes back, the devil's going to be here. He's going to be trying to deceive and discourage and bring and put you in fear, you know, trying to work his work in your life. So you and I need to be ready. Amen. We need to keep our sword sharpened. Amen. We need to do exactly what Jesus did here and resist him by speaking the word of God. That is the proven way. Amen. The successful way to resist the devil. The devil will try to stop you. He wants to stop you from fulfilling the plan of God for your life. He wants to derail you, get you off track, get you distracted. But no, stay on track with the purpose and plan of God. Speak the word of God when he comes against you. Resist him. And James said he'll flee from you. I mean, the very first time you resist and speak the word, he might not go. But if you do what Jesus did, stay with it, he'll flee. He can't stay. He can't stay under the pressure of the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'll close with this. It says this about in verse 11 here. Then the devil left him, and look at this, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Angels came and ministered to him. Well, I don't think that's just exclusive for Jesus. I think you and I can experience the same. Now I said, well, I've always wanted to see an angel. It didn't say the angels came and appeared to him. They may have. One gospel writer says the angels came and appeared to him, strengthening him. Strengthening him. Glory to God. See, when we speak the word of God, the angels go to work on our behalf. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 20. Look at this. We'll close with this verse. Psalm 103, 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. I like that part. Glory to God. Who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. The angels are doing what? They're heeding the voice of his word. One translation says it this way, literally. The Hebrew says, they hearken to the calling aloud of the spoken word. Amen. The angels hearken. In other words, they get busy. In other words, they go to work. In other words, they go into action when the word of God is spoken, whether it's coming out of God's mouth, Jesus' mouth, or your mouth. Because you've been authorized to speak his word. Hallelujah. And when you speak his word in Jesus' name, it's just like God speaking it. It's just like Jesus speaking it. Glory to God. The angels go to work to minister on your behalf. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All that is set in motion when we speak the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. So the word of God is our weapon. It's our weapon to resist the devil and to walk in victory over him. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I have been authorized. We've been given the victory. Amen. But we are an occupation army. Amen. We have to stand our ground. The devil will try to take what belongs to us. The devil will try to say, do they really believe that they have that? Do they really believe that they are that? I'm going to challenge. Same thing he did with Jesus. If you're the Son of God. Was he? Devil tried to challenge him, didn't he? Well, I'm not so sure if you are or not, if you're the Son of God. He'll come at you the same way. Well, if you're really healed. Well, if you're really the righteousness of God. Well, if you are prosperous. Well, if you are victorious. Try to challenge you and I the same way, won't he? How do we respond? It is written. It is written. But in order to say it is written, you've got to know what's written. And the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the scripture you need for that moment and that hour. But you've got to have it on the inside of you. Amen? Praise God. Let's put the Word of God first in 2013. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you.